Welcome back to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And you can also get all the archives for this show, including commercial-free archives, at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. Okay, moving on to a new article now. The best evidence you have ever seen that puppet masters script mainstream news reports. And this is a little media brainwashing video. What I found very interesting is just how many times you see different media channels on different parts of the world use the exact same words, the exact same phrasing, the exact same talking points. And it doesn't matter which news channel it is. Doesn't matter whether it's Associated Press, Washington Post, New York Times, Fox News, CNN, NBC, TV3 News, TVNZ, BBC, whatever. They all say the exact same thing. Don't you ever find that strange? I mean, sure, they're all reporting the exact same story, but they all report the exact same story in the exact same way. Why is that? How many television studios, stations, and so on and so forth are there? Yeah, really, really think about this. Just how much variance is there, really, in the actual amount of stations and radio, TV, how many different newspaper outlets, so on and so forth. Just imagine, it'd be thousands. Thousands upon thousands, maybe even millions, right? And apparently, six corporations, only six, own every single one of them. Wow. Now, it suddenly makes a hell of a lot more sense why they're all repeating the same garbage. Makes a hell of a lot more sense, doesn't it? I mean, there's. I'm looking at the guy who sent a. Who's at a protest. And it says, go to work, send your kids to school, follow fashion, act normal, walk on the pavement, watch TV, save for your old age, obey the law. Repeat after me, I am free. While a cop beats the heck out of you. It's very, very sad. Very, very sad. And you know, this is what happens when people are detached from their ability to think. And I believe that this is why the education system has been structured the way it has, to ensure that we cannot think. After all, a thinking mind is that which is very dangerous to any kind of established order. Don't you think? Maybe that's where the phrase, don't you think, actually comes from. Do you believe it? When you watch the news? But do you actually believe it? Do you believe that there's any truth in the things that they're reporting to you? Or do you just know to the contrary? Because that's the other thing. When people are lying to you, and you know they're lying, but you don't know what the actual truth is, you can't just jut back, but it's actually this, this, that, and the other. Can you? And so you've got no alternative to the lie. And so you kind of have to roll with it and mull it around for a bit, do a bit of thinking, probably do a bit of research. And that's another thing. You can't solve the world's problems with less information. Right, you really can't do it, because most of the world's problems are unknown to most of the world. That's why they're problems. In general, I saw the Pacific Ocean has turned into a massive floating garbage dump. It's absolutely horrific. Now, think about this. They have areas of the Pacific Ocean that are like kind of astronomical. Okay, it's a huge freaking thing. It like covers up like half a freaking hemisphere of the world. All right, everywhere's garbage, everywhere's plastics, bottle caps, bags, jandals, whatever the heck, all thrown in there. And they've got these massive current systems that kind of work like a spiral, and they all spiral into the middle of the Pacific Ocean, like halfway between Japan and Los Angeles. You know, and it's like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times the size of Texas or whatever, just a floating garbage island, more massive than anything you could ever conceive of in your life. Nobody's doing anything about it. You know, they got people running out there running tests. People got ideas of how to clean it up. They're digging up seagulls and stuff like that all along the beaches over the West Coast and elsewhere around the world. And they are just filled. These birds are just filled with garbage. They've been eating it all day, every day. And that they starve to death because there's no more room in their stomach. And what's in there can't pass. It can't get through. And there's no nutritional value in it. They starve to death even though they're full. You know? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the kind of pain and suffering that you'd be under if you were full, too full to eat, and yet you're sitting there starving to death, taking weeks or whatever, starving to death for weeks and not being able to eat anything? Because you're too full of toxic cancer-causing bottle caps. That's terrifying. And this is a huge, untold reality. You know why? Because most of us don't live in the middle of a freaking Pacific Ocean, do we? That big garbage island is not in our face, is it? And we all contribute to it. Heck, we all chuck out stuff that ain't recyclable. And things go down the stormwater drains, go into the sea, so on and so forth, man. We are literally polluting the planet. There's like 7 billion tons, maybe even 700 billion tons or whatever, of unrecyclable plastic being produced on Earth every year. That is a massive, massive thing to deal with. How exactly are we going to solve that problem if nobody's aware of it? Okay, and this is another argument that people have. Stop talking about the problem, just do something about it. Look, man, if you don't talk about the problem, you need to be aware that there is a freaking problem. If you're talking with other people who are already aware of the problem, and both of them haven't really done anything to stop it, then it doesn't really hurt to talk a little bit more. But maybe get constructive with the conversation. If you both know what's going on, then you can actually start to work schemes of how to do it. And both of you will come up with a great idea together, and one of you won't be bothered to do anything. They won't actually want to change. One of you really will, but they'll be discouraged because they expected the other person to help them. And then they won't do anything either. Stop relying on other people to solve the world's problems. Even people you love, even people you care about, even people you think are your friends. They ain't gonna frickin' help you save the world. That's the unfortunate, very cynical truth that I've come to. Is that if you want to change the world, if you want to make something that doesn't currently exist, if you want to make the world a better place, take personal responsibility for it. I take personal responsibility for ensuring that New Zealand has a 5-day-a-week, 2-hour-a-day radio show that speaks the truth, that gets on activists, whistleblowers, doctors, lawyers, researchers, authors, bloggers, article writers, video makers, music makers, the whole thing, right? I take personal responsibility to make sure that that happens. There's a reason for this. Only one reason. It's not even a very good one. Because there's nobody else in New Zealand doing it. That's basically it. Plenty of people in America doing it. Maybe, I don't know if there's anybody in the UK, maybe. To do something regular, to do something every single day, to be a solid, you know, to actually really be a mainstay, to be there for everybody all the time. Taking personal responsibility is the only thing you can do in those points of situations. People come in and they help every now and again, but at the end of the day, it's my gig, it's on my shoulders, and I must do it. Because of that very simple and not very good reason, because nobody else is. Not from the New Zealand context anyway. And I wonder, what are the other 5 million New Zealanders doing that's so important that they don't want to speak and allow to have speak important ideas on the radio on a daily basis to ensure that the country at least has something to latch on to, something that won't fill their head full of nonsense, somebody that'll actually do some thinking and allow you to be in on that thought so that it'll trigger thoughts of your own so that you might realize all along that you didn't really need anybody to provide you with a savior complex. You provided that for yourself because you came up with a number of excuses of why you can't, why you won't, why it's just too hard. I can't, I won't, it's just too hard. That's what people reply with, invariably, when you talk about saving the world. We're not talking about just saving the environment, or just saving New Zealand, or just saving their political paradigms, or paradoxes, if they seem to be more along those lines these days. I'm not talking about even just saving a nation. I'm talking about saving the entire world and all the people in it. What a massive job that must be. Then you kind of think to yourself, you know what, saving the whole world's problems is just a bit too big to me. How about I just solve one? You know, how about you go out there today and you think about a problem that's affecting your local area or just your home or just your neighbor. Think about problems every day, not so that you stress out about them, but so that you can concoct schemes to ensure that they're no longer a problem anymore. Concoct away, ladies and gentlemen. You have nothing to lose. Come up with a million harebrained schemes. Implement them all. Guarantee you a couple of them are bound to be winners. Not everything that we think about is junk and rubbish, no matter how much junk and rubbish we consume. They can't take that away from us. There is nobody that can take away your ability to take personal responsibility for the world's problems and solving you. Okay? You have that freaking power. Nobody can take that power away from you except you. apart from, of course, if somebody actually physically enslaves you and, you know, chucks you in a prison or whatever, like is happening to a couple of friends of mine, for speaking out against corruption in the political and judicial systems. That's the time that they really force you to not have an effect for a long period of time. However, as the Nelson Mandela case proves, even if you're locked away on Robben Island drinking bread and drinking water and eating bread and nothing more for 20 plus years, you can still come out and abolish apartheid and allegedly give people freedom. But unfortunately, it just goes back to massive corruption again. But the point still remains. If you, even if you start something and then get killed or locked away, other people will see what you started, that you took personal responsibility and did it anyway, regardless of the risk, and they will pick up the mantle afterwards. Okay? You can either be an example to other people or an example to yourself. Preferably both. And the answer, and the question is, what do you got to lose? Nothing. Nothing that they aren't going to take from you anyway. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening pleasure. And I also wanted to remind people that this is a 100% at this point listener supported show. If you're capable of supporting this broadcast, where we try and, you know, just kind of provide some levity amongst all of this really, really annoying stuff that's going on all the time. All the time. You notice that, have you noticed that every time you look, there's some kind of new scumbaggery being reported? And it ain't people just, you know, fear-mongering and trying to tell you the bad news so that you'll go and look at it, although that works. But there really is this much bad stuff going down. Stuff that is so horrifically nasty that you just don't want to hear about it. I hope to believe, you know, that I provide a bit of levity and a bit of fun and maybe a bit of a snappy repartee and crappy puns. But at the end of the day, the slogan of the show is, in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. And I hope that I provide at least a modicum of that humor. Or at the very least, not try and take it too seriously. And that's why I recommend people listen in 5 days a week. Because you need that kind of daily injection. You need to be laughing every day. You need to be hugging every day. You need to be being told that you're loved every day. Kind of thing. I love you. I love you all so, so very much. There are remarkable amounts of people who have, you know, contributed to this show. Have shown me immense amounts of love, and I really appreciate it because I'm slightly narcissistic, and which is also the reason why I can't work for anybody else ever again, kind of thing, like employophobic. I work with people, sure, there's no problem. I work with everybody very, very well, as long as I maintain my autonomy. If I have the right to leave if I want to or say no, I can. And not have any financial burden to suffer as a result. That's why advertisers are a real pain in the ass. Because they've always got to, you know, keep getting results for the money that they're giving you. And so you're worried about whether or not they'll be offended by what somebody says on air or whatever. Listeners, on the other hand, when I'm listening to shows anyway, I care not what the host is saying. So long as it's the truth, so long as it entertains me, so long as it's actually worth my freaking while. I mean, think about this. How many other hundreds of different radio shows could you be listening to right now? More than you could possibly conceive of, right? There's all these different platforms and networks and so on out there. But here you are listening to me. I really get taken aback by that. What is it that I'm giving you that makes you actually want to be here listening to this right now? There must be something. And the only differential that I can really come up with is that I'm really, really having fun when I'm doing this radio show. May talk about some serious stuff sometimes, but on the whole, it's about having a laugh. Really? Because at the end of the day, I don't really see too many other people out there talking about how they're being ruthlessly exterminated and enslaved in a million different ways by a million different scumbags, with a smile on their face. Reality is quite a depressing one, isn't it? Particularly if the things that scare you, the things that anger you, the things that really twist you the wrong way, are the type of news that is injected into your life every day of the week. You got to have some kind of reprieve from that. Some kind of psychological therapy, in a way. And I think laughter's a good construct for that. Releases endorphins, makes you feel happier. At the end of 2 hours, most of the guests are like, where the frick did those 2 hours go? Because we enter into a time warp when we're cackling. We have a freaking good time. That's what happens in the time warp. You know, sure as the Rocky Horror Picture Show was transvestite-ish, this show transcends time-ish. I do believe, absolutely believe, that there are a lot of other radio show hosts, comedians, and even film directors and so on and so forth, that you should also get in touch with, including, from Deadline Live, Jack Blood. We have an article here. U.S. infrastructure boom in Afghanistan, $37 million aviation facility used to store opium. And we've got pictures of the U.S. soldiers just standing in the opium fields. You know, just amid the poppies, as you do, big grin on your face. Look at all this freaking area. And it happens all the time. Like, it's the whole thing that's going on over there, man. I mean, dig this. You know, this is a big illustration of what I'm talking about. This is friggin' hilarious. Taliban come into power. At the time the Taliban came into power, I think Afghanistan was like the, I don't know, provided about 70%+ of the world's heroin. After just before the US invasion, when the Taliban had been in power, they provided about 1% of the world's heroin and completely decimated it. They wiped out all those opium poppy fields and so on and so forth. And then I think like a year after the US occupation began, it was after 9/11, they increased their output of opium by 3,000-fold. Okay. Oh, hold on a second. Let me just see if I got the chronology straight here. You send in US troops to catch a guy that didn't exist and was probably already dead from kidney failure in a country that provides 1% of the world's heroin. And then by the time you're in there for a year, even though the people that you're fighting against, the Taliban, wiped out all the heroin production, you increase the heroin production of that particular sector by 3,000-fold in a year. And that was just the very first year. Goodness knows how much there is now. Apparently, it's a $37 million Air Force base that is being used to store opium in gargantuan frickin' hangars, the size of which you would see in a gosh dang Indiana Jones movie. Full of heroin. It's been shipped out everywhere.
How do you think they get these ridiculous fortunes? How do you think the big companies can control everything? Because they control the drug trade, bro. That's why drugs are illegal. Illegal stuff is way more expensive than legal stuff. Legal stuff, you've got to pay tax on it. Legal stuff, you actually have to have documents. You know, traceable, publicly accessible, so on and so forth. So if you wanted to finance a whole bunch of scumbaggery operations around the world, drug cartels are the way to go, ultimately, because you get liquid cash. Real, tangible, frickin' untraceable cash that you can just launder through the US stock market. Did you know if you've got a company on the Wall Street stock market and you want to go into a bank and deposit 10 grand, you don't have to fill out a transaction receipt to find out where that money came from. You know that? If it's under 10 grand, you don't have to do that either. But these guys come in and they dump millions upon millions of dollars in cash on these desks. I guarantee you. It's unbelievable. The amount of drug money that has been laundered through Wall Street. Did you know that something like 9 out of 10 of the last directors of the CIA came directly to the CIA chiefship from Wall Street? Okay? The CIA is the ones running all these drugs. It's been exposed. Got Iran-Contra. They ship the drugs in, guns, whatever you can possibly think of, to fund little operations all the way around the world, including the operation that's going on right down there as the pretext. You know, think about Afghanistan as a pretext. How many people have tried to conquer Afghanistan? Like, I think there's about like 8 or 9 different cultures, and the Afghanis beat them all back. But now, you can flood the streets with heroin, and the Afghanis don't really want to fight back no more. You know, it's a protracted war. How much is this war? How much is all this war costing? And where the frick are we getting the money to pay for all the... I mean, just think about this. Oh, you pay your alleged taxes, which are allegedly legal, allegedly lawful, etc., to a massive system that comes up with BS reasons to invade places where they don't belong, kill people, and flood the world with drugs and dirty money. Who? Yeah, I think that's about it. Isn't it? That's what your taxes are being spent on. So they can run frickin' heroin. Goodness knows how much damage is being done. But hey, actually, allegedly, heroin doesn't do anything bad to you. The problem with heroin is it's real expensive because it's illegal. Because apparently, it's got some medicinal benefits and so on and so forth. It's been used for a very long time. It's got a similar story to marijuana. They're very, very different, though. But it is used in the medical industry, isn't it? What's morphine made out of? You know, it's made out of freaking heroin. There's so many different drugs and concoctions and so on and so forth that use all of this stuff. Oh, it's pharmaceutical grade, right? Where are they getting all of that stuff? Whose tax dollars are buying it? Whose private money is being spent here? You know, who owns these particular chains of medical fiending fiascos? Is it by chance something related to the Rockefeller Foundation, which incidentally owns a big chunk of probably everything in America? Is it by chance a whole group of scumbaggery individuals that have come together to create these enormous military-industrial complex organizations so they can spread their money out on a number of different fronts and basically buy up the entire economy and all productive capacity of war and propaganda and medicine and food and the entire freaking world and every single strategic resource in every corner of the world that matters? Yeah, that's what's going on here, bro. That is exactly what is going on here. For any new listeners, I'm sorry if this might come as a shock to you, but there is very little that goes on in the world that seems really bad that is happening by accident. Very little. Most of it, I would say, is a result of just the machinations. What is a Massey nation? Is that some kind of a nation that calls itself Massey? You know, we've got a couple of universities and maybe even a suburb up out west is called Massey in this country. Anyway, all of these wars, all of the drug running, all of the laws that you're following, all of the food that you're eating, all of the orders that you're following, all of the teachings you were ever given by mainstream establishment people are part of the agenda, whether they're witting or unwitting, most likely unwitting. They just get lied to. They believe the lie because it's repeated to them over and over again by an authority figure. If you trust authority and you trust that what they say is true, then they can lie to you day in, day out for your entire life. And you will believe it right up until the day that you see it for yourself, for what it really is. Sorry to burst anybody's bubble, but your life is not what you think it is. There are a number of controls in every single part of your life that control your behavior, tell you what's acceptable, tell you that your ideas won't work, tell you that your questioning is not appreciated, inform you that you need to do certain things in order to fit in with society. I'm 6'4", bro. What the hell can I fit into? Honestly. People ask me why I'm putting myself in front of the camera and the microphone all the time, you know, and exposing myself, and it might be dangerous or whatever. Dude, again, I'm 6'4". What can I hide from? Not a lot. What the hell is the point of hiding for something that already controls everything? They will find you. No matter how long you keep your head down for, they'll find you. And they'll take everything from you. Take your kids. Take your life. They'll erase your very existence from the history books. They can do that, and they have done it to many, many people. So don't sit down and act like everything's going to be okay and lie to yourself. Not while there's $37 million aviation facilities being used to store opium for black ops. You can do something about it. Start doing it. What's your excuse? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. George Bush paid back in the 80s to be set up and so that they could take the war to the Russians and sell frickin' Stinger missiles to people in exchange for some geopolitical control of the region and having their own private secret army called Al-Qaeda that they could dispatch anywhere where they wanted to inflict a little bit of pain, terror, and fear in order to blame the opposition for being the ones that caused it, when in actual fact they were just innocent people going about their business, trying to live a happy life, and then getting extremely badly messed around by the agents of the New World Order and various other forms of scumbaggery. Speaking of victims of agents of the New World Order scumbaggery, President Assad, I like these stories because, you know, they don't make me happy. They do make me Assad. Terrorists may attack chemical weapons inspectors and blame Damascus. Syrian armed opposition may be ordered by its foreign sponsors to stage a false flag operation against foreign inspectors when they arrive in the country to monitor destruction of the country's chemical weapons stockpile, says the Syrian president. Bashar al-Assad
voiced his concerns in an interview by China's state television CCTV. Isn't it interesting how China's television is named after a security company? I mean, security camera. Yeah, the People's Republic of China. We broadcast to you via CCTV. The Syrian leader proposed this possible scenario as he was explaining how his government may be accused of trying to dodge its obligations to destroy its chemical arsenal. Where did they buy all these chemicals from? Oh, yeah, they probably bought them from the States. Or Iraq, which bought them from the States. We know that these terrorists are obeying the orders of other countries, and these countries do drive these terrorists to commit acts that could get the Syrian government blamed for hindering this agreement, he explained. Russia brokered an agreement with Syria to dispose of its stockpile of chemical weapons amid US threats to use military force against Syrian army over alleged use of sarin gas, which killed an estimated 1,400 people in August. And it's since come out that it wasn't the Assad regime that launched that chemical attack. It was, in fact, the US-funded rebels. So the US-funded rebels say, I don't know, what's a bad American version of an Arabic accent? I can't do it. I just can't. Basically, they say this. Bro. Look. We've just killed 1,400 people with some of our chemical weapons. And we're going to blame it on you. All right? No, just hear me out. We're going to blame it on you. And then say that we'll invade you unless you stop using the chemical weapons which we used on you. Yes. And you have to sit there and say the truth and know that nobody's going to report your side of the story. Oh, my God. What it must be like to be a leader of one of these countries that the New World Order invades. What it must have been like to be Gaddafi. It's like, dude, I want the gold dinar, like actual fracking gold in your possession to be the currency in which we're going to trade oil around the African continent. Suddenly, the US dollar, which you can buy oil in at this point, doesn't seem so good, considering there's real, actual, non-fiat, frickin' gold there in order to do it. Well, I guess he must just be an evil dictator. Let's take out this dictator after, of course, we fund Al-Qaeda, and this is admitted in the mainstream news. Al-Qaeda started the rebellion in frickin' Libya. They were wide and round and captured tanks flying Al-Qaeda flags. Okay? Isn't this the people we're supposed to be fighting against? No. They've been on the side of the CIA since the Mujahideen in frickin' Afghanistan in the 80s versus the Russians. All right? And every single time that the US wants a war, but they can't just send in all of their troops officially, they get their proxy warriors to do it for them. Give them the guns, give them the missiles, send them in. This guy's a bad guy to everybody, you know, in the media. And we'll just take him out and fief off with all his resources. You know, that's basically it. Not entirely dissimilar to what's going on with the Saud, is it? Everyone, not many people know what Suzanne Posel at OccupyCorporatism.com reported. That this $700 billion plus, natural gas reserves have just been found in Israel. What's a country that's in the way of Israel building a pipeline from perhaps Israel to Europe? Isn't Syria kind of like the only one, considering Turkey's got not too bad relationships with Israel, which is incidentally why there's an article that came out on the Wall Street Journal about Turkey. Here we are. Here's the headline. Turkey's government forms 6,000-member social media team. Volunteers to promote ruling party's perspectives in sphere dominated by protesters. It's right freaking there. all the public's involved. They're becoming active. They know about the tyrannical scumbaggery regime that they're ruled under, and they're beating the pants off them on social media because you can't control social media. And now they think, you know, it'd be a better idea rather than trying to control social media to influence it the way we want with fake accounts with a professional team of disinfo agents. 6,000-member social media team to push ruling party propaganda on social media, just in Turkey alone. And this is what's actually just come out. This is what's being declared. Imagine what they're already doing and haven't declared. And this goes for every country. Doesn't that scare the living bejesus out of you? That there really is admitted and official thousands upon thousands upon thousands.
I'm so freaking out-meetinged.
What's going on here?
I'm over-met. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Record,
sounds broadcast, like Pete Santilli.
Broadcast. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You're now listening to... Here we go! Let's authenticate. This is Monday, September 23rd. Here we go.
What the hell is going on here?
30 seconds. Counting down here.
That's really weird, man.
To live stream.
Somehow Pete Santilli's hijacking my broadcast.
Yeah. The launch button.
There we go. That's gone now. Thank goodness for that. That was weird and freaky. Kind of like evil invader. Did anybody else hear that? Like AFR Bulldog, did you actually hear that too? Or was that just on my end? Because I don't know what the hell was going on there. That really kind of like was like, ooh. All of a sudden I heard Pete Santilli talking in my ear, you know, doing his radio show. And I was like, what the heck is playing that? I'm sorry. All right. Whew. Isn't that funny? You just talk about a bunch of government scumbaggery being done to hijack social media in order to push their propaganda. And look what happens. Yeah. I love synchronicity like that. It's classic. Okay. It kind of rattled me. Like, really? What the heck was going on here? Now, speaking of which, I have this idea that people need to start donating to the board op at AFR, because he's been handling like the whole network by himself since March. Okay, programming in all of the kind of stuff, making sure all the reruns are going, producing everybody's freaking show. Operating the board the whole freaking time, connecting all of the guests, opening up all the chat rooms and the call lines and all of that kind of stuff. It's a lot of freaking work, especially when we've got like seven plus hosts on the radio here and doing shows every week and so on and so forth. And he has to produce them all by him fracking self. Please help this man. Okay. Please help this man. There is some real bad times being had by AFR over the last couple of months. And I'm going to go into it, but, you know, there's a reason that the archives haven't been done and so on and so forth. You know, there's just been some real problems at the network, and we've kind of forced to deal with this situation. So if you can donate, go to your PayPal and type in this email address, freecell@yahoo.com. That's cell like C-E-L-E at yahoo.com. freecell@yahoo.com. That's the email address through PayPal. If you can make any donations to our glorious and dutiful, and the entire reason why the entire network hasn't snapped its own spine back on itself, radio show frickin' producer extraordinaire with the extravagance and the magnificence and the so on and so forth. Please donate. freecell@yahoo.com. That's C-E-L-E Yeah. That's Adam the board op. So please give him a donation, because he gets nothing for keeping this entire network alive. And it might not stay along. It might not stay alive. But the boy's got to eat. You've got to have groceries, bro. Groceries. It's just some freaking gas to get somewhere, because you've got to see people. You've got to do stuff, you know? Donate to this boy, all right? Please. And I'll put that up on the archives as well at thevinnyeswoodshow.com. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. And we will see you again sometime. Most definitely.